Pastor. Pastor Casper is only 24 years old. He's becoming probably one of the most important persons in this town of 1800. He's making a difference in the lives of family after families, dozens of them, and people giving their lives to Jesus Christ. You can make a difference. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how little you think you have. If you would just allow yourself to just be in the hand of God, He can do great things with you. And seeing that again and again, I'm so excited for Pastor Casper, for what he's doing. You know, in our country today, and we all know it because we see it on the news every single day, we have a problem. We have a lot of separation problem. So you turn on TV, you see what's happening in Charlotte. You see the riots. You know, a little later, you see others in other cities who've seen it in New York and Baltimore, possibly in Tulsa later. And you never know what's going to come tomorrow. You know, we've got group against another group against another group, right? And if you go to Europe, you see similar things. A lot of immigration situation, and you think immigration is good, but then, you know, you realize even in Europe, they separate people. If you're from a certain country, you go this area, you know, we do that all the time. And it's highlighted, and because of the internet, and everybody in the whole world sees it. And I declare to you, I think our country is really not by far the worst. It's just that we are there open for everybody to see. If you travel to other places, you see that stuff all the time. Separations. I remember when I was in Quito, Ecuador, there were certain neighborhoods where you look outside, there's a little booth, guys with machine guns there. And they protect that neighborhood. When I was in New York, there are certain parts, if you can believe that, even now, in Brooklyn, there's certain color, race, ethnicity cannot live in. Even when my parents were trying to buy a house a long time ago, they told them right out, well, they're not going to sell it to you because you're Chinese, straight out. It's against the law, but they do it anyway. In case you think that is rare or terrible, horrific, let me tell you, 2,000 years ago, it was much worse. During the days of Jesus, and then afterwards, during the days when the church was first formed, you can imagine what it was. You got people that thought so terrible of others. The Jewish people thought everybody else, they call them goyims. That was, we translate it as Gentiles. But that was not a good term, you know. If you're a goyim, you're just like dirt. And then, if you were not Jewish, you thought of the Jewish people as horrific people. They're just stupid. They're horrible people. And if you are Roman, by the way, you conquered everybody, right? You're the big cheese. Everybody else is nothing. And in case you don't understand, people that are conquered, oftentimes they're slaves. So there's tons of slaves. Slavery wasn't even talked about. It's assumed. And of course, if you're Greek, who was conquered by the Romans, but because they're Greek, they're smarter than everybody else, right? They had Plato and Aristotle and so on and on. So you got all that stuff going on all the time. This is just sinful humanity. That's who we are. But something strange happened 2,000 years ago. Something came about that changed all that, and people couldn't understand it. There was something that was infused in the culture, in the society at the time, and this stuff was changing. In fact, it changed so much that in the city of Antioch, a city where it's very multicultural, probably like Houston, where people from all over the place would travel through, in the city of Antioch, there was a group of people, there was a so-called organization that was weird as can be. Because there were five leaders, and you know, we understand organizations have leaders. They have boards, they have church councils, they have all those kind of things, right? There were five leaders there, and every single one of them was different. Now, very different. One was an aristocrat, so he must be the boss, right? He's the Roman aristocrat. No. Another guy was European. Another guy was Jewish. Jewish people were aristocrats. Another guy was a North African. You know what a North African looked like. They don't look like European whites. And last one, he was from maybe Ethiopia, maybe Sudan. He was a black African. And all five of them was treated exactly the same. They were treated as leaders of this group. It's the weirdest thing. And then on Sundays or other days too, people will come from all over the city of Antioch. They will come from the rich area. They will come from the poor area. They will come from the places where, you know, the people with different colors were. They will come and they will get together in houses, you know, courtyards, whatever it is, and they'll mix together. And the people are scratching their heads. They were saying, what do we do with people like this? What should we call them? So you know what they called them? You know, in Acts 13. That's when they were first called Christians. They were called Christians. I want to tell you something. Being a Christian is not being in an organization. Being a Christian is not being as a member of a church, per se. Being a Christian is not being in a denomination. Being a Christian is not being in a religion. Being a Christian is being in a family. The family of God. Big difference. You know, we can have friends galore. We can have all kinds of social relationships, you know. But being in a family is different. You just have privileges and responsibilities that are different than anybody else, anywhere else. In a family is different. Totally different. As much as some friends of mine want to be in the whole family, they can't. You know, as much as my sons, one of them is in New York, one is in California, even though they're so far away from me, they're still my sons. They will always be my sons because they're my family. And this family of God is so special, so different. And the reason they're special and different is because they are in God's family and they're really children of God. And this matters a lot because in the book of Galatians, as we go through it and we talk about freedom, you need to understand why you are free, why you and I are free. We're free because we're in God's family. If we're not in that family, we're not free. Only in this family are we free. Let me share with you some thoughts that are important to understand being in the family of God. First of all, the scriptures here says we are children of God. Children of God. You're not just a guest. You are a child of God. You know, sometimes, I think sometimes we just do. We can't help ourselves, you know. We just think of being a Christian as just being a member of a church. We're this and that. And then, you know, we said, we don't like this church, so we're just going to go to another one. I am never against anybody going to another church, ever. Never have been, never will. When we have 15, 20 people in our church in New York, someone says, you know, God is leading me to go somewhere else, that's fine. I bless them, pray with them, go on. But usually that's not why people leave. Usually they leave because they're mad at somebody. Usually they leave because they don't like something that's going on. They don't like the preaching. They don't like the pastor. They don't like, you know, the usher. They don't like somebody. And then they go. You can't do that if you're children, if you are children of God. You know, you can't do that if you're part of the family. We're children. We're called about children. We're not guests. We're not, you know, somebody that's consuming the church. We're not consumers. We don't go there to, but we are children. We're part of this family. And that's really important. We have all the privileges of it, but we also have the responsibility to it. And I think it gives us that freedom to say, you know what? No matter what, I'm a child of God. No matter what, I'm part of this organism, not an organization. And the scripture talks about it. It talks about us being children. And that's why you can be a black African Christian in the city of Antioch, and not only are you welcome, you can get to a place where you are a leader. You're an elder in that church. And your skin doesn't matter. Where you came from doesn't matter. Your political agenda doesn't matter. Your sociological ones, your personal ones, it doesn't matter. Your heritage doesn't matter. Because we are now in the family of God. We are children. The second thought here, and it goes on, Paul writes it, we are equal in status. He talks about how it doesn't matter where we're from, whether we're slave or free. Can you imagine that? You have to understand something. You know, we talk about the color barrier today, you know, in our churches and our country. Over there, slave and free, somebody that is a free man who may be a master of slaves, he can't think of himself as the same as a slave. You know what a slave is? As much as you can think about slavery in America, it's just as bad, if not worse, during the days of Rome. They can do anything with a slave. Literally a piece of possession. If somebody wanted to just literally kill the slave right there just because he feels like it, he can, and there's nothing against that. He can abuse the slave in every which way he wants to. It doesn't matter. He's a slave. And here, in scriptures, it's talking about the slave and the free man being the same, equal. That's unheard of. That's the Christian community. And that's the Christian family. That's what it's about. Now, we have a tough time with that. Let me tell you, don't even suppose that in the church we don't have that. We have it in the church. Hope we don't have it in our church. One of the scenes of my life in the past that I love so much was this one time, I shared it with you before. One time we had a worship team worshiping, and Barbara and I, we always sit in the front just like we do now, and we're just worshiping. And then suddenly Barbara taps me. She says, look. I said, what? You know, I just worship. I really get into worship, you know. And what? And he said, look at the platform. I said, yeah, so what? It's a good worship team. They're doing a good job. I think we had about 13 or 14 people in worship. You're doing all, playing all the instruments and all. He says, look at them. I said, what about them? She said, they're different. I looked at them, and every single person, as I looked through it, because I know them all, was from a different country. There was black, Hispanic, white, Asian, etc. Every single one of them was from a different country, whether from heritage or literally from where they were. They were born there. But the thing that caught me was that I didn't notice. I didn't notice it. It wasn't like, look at that, you know, we have these multicultural. No, it wasn't. They were just our people. That was our worship team. I want to tell you something. This is how God's church thrives. You know, in India, the people there are very segregated. Even though they're all Indians, right? You know the caste system. There's five of them. There's everyone all the way down to the bottom, what is called the untouchables. And so when the gospel message went, when missionaries went to India, they had a really tough time with the Indian culture as far as sharing the gospel, because the Indian belief in Hinduism is very, very snobbish in the sense of they think they're right. The Americans are dopes, you know. The Westerners are dopes. And so they couldn't get through very well. They just couldn't get in it, you know. But there was one place where they did, in the southwest section of India, in a city called Hyderabad, and there's other places. And over there, the people responded to the gospel. So you meet Indian Christians, they go to an Indian church, you're going to know that their roots is from there. Because the rest of India is not Christian. They're Hindu, they're Sikh, they're Muslim, in fact, but they're not Christian. But there they are. In fact, we had missionary friends of ours that went to a city of Chandigarh, which is the northern part of India, and they try to share the gospel. They're so hard. They just can't, you know, it's so hard to share the gospel. People just didn't respond. But down in Hyderabad, in the southwest section, they did. Because they were poor. The people there, it's like, why do I want to be a Hindu and be untouchable, you know, when I can receive this grace of God and I can be in the family of God? Can you imagine that? Of course, that's hope. So they did that. We are equal in status. But, you know, we like to say we are, especially as Americans. You know, of course we're not anything else but. But are we really sometimes? Are we really? I remember when we were in New York, we had our church was going, doing real well. My brother-in-law, he was in D.C., in the Maryland area. There's a church there. And the pastor left, the senior pastor left. It was a pretty good-sized church, about 500 people. Up in the northeast, that's a big church. And so he went to the search committee and said, hey, would you consider my brother-in-law? He's a really good pastor. He told me that later, okay? He didn't ask permission or anything. And at the time, we had about 650 people in the church. It's a good-sized church, good ministries going on. And then the guy just asked him one question, nothing about my criteria. And he says, is he Chinese? He said, yeah. He just laughed and walked away. Oh, that's personal. It didn't bother me a lot, but it was personal because we understand it. Those of us who are not white in certain areas, and it's not a knock on whites, okay? It's just certain areas. We know we have something called a glass ceiling. In New York, it was all day long. All these young people, they're techie, they do all this work, but they can never break that glass ceiling, you know? They'll get there, they'll get to the mid-management, they'll never get to top management because of racism. But does it have to happen in the church? It should never happen in the church. And you know what? I'm so excited that in Houston, I see churches all the time. Even the Baptist church, our First Baptist church, is section in downtown, is a Chinese pastor. You know? There are African-American staff in churches. There are Hispanic staff in churches, you know? This is good. But I want to tell you that according to the Word of God, written 2,000 years ago in Galatians, Paul said to the people there, we are equal in status. You know what? If you want to break away from the chains that this world tells you and wants to keep you in, you have to understand that we are in a family. And as family members, we are equal in status, no matter our political status, no matter our sociological status, or our cultural status, or even our personal status. It is the same equal before Christ. And that's really important. If we're going to impact our world for Jesus Christ, we need to be challenged about that. You know why? Because the world does it this way. This is what Paul said. He says, you know, you're so used to the law. The law says you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, and you get this. That's what it's about. You want to be saved? You do this, you do this. You get circumcised, you become Jewish, then, you know, on and on and on, then you're saved. You want to rise in status. This is what you got to do to rise in status. But Paul says, no, no. As Christians, we are there by faith. As we give our lives to Jesus Christ, as we trust him, it doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter that our lives are the worst life in the world. You know, we just messed up everywhere. It doesn't matter we were the most heinous criminals on earth. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, when we trust him for salvation, when we trust him for our new life, he changes us. And you know what? When we read later on, when we get to Galatians 4 and 5, we're going to understand more and more how much God wants that for us. The world says there's a rule, there's a law, there's a pattern you must follow. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. It is by faith. And you know what? Faith is something everyone can have. You don't have to be a scholar to have faith. You do not have to be rich and famous to have faith. You do not have to be this person that has done all those things to have faith. Faith is something that all of us can have. We can have that faith in Jesus Christ, trust in him, and give him our lives and say, Lord Jesus, this is my life. It's not worth much. But I believe you can do something with it. Would you do something with it? And because we are a family, a part of the family of God, because we are children, because we are equal in status before God, he can and he will. And so it doesn't matter. Pastor Caspers comes over. He's 24 years old. You don't know his education. You don't know where he's from. You don't know his background. We know a little bit more of that. It doesn't matter because God is going to do something with him. Because why? He has faith in Jesus Christ. And we can all have that. The last thing we want to see, it's really important. Every single time, Paul, as he addresses throughout the whole chapter here and throughout the whole book of Galatians, that we are transformed by the Spirit in Christ. So you say, how does this work, you know? How does this work that, you know, in those days, all the people, they couldn't handle it. The Jewish people couldn't handle it. The Gentile people couldn't handle it. The Romans couldn't handle it. But the Christians can handle it. How does this work? How is it that they can love somebody that they're not supposed to love? How is it that they can work with somebody they're not supposed to work with? How is it that they can make these sacrifices for people that they don't want to? How does it work? It works because of the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. You see, a lot of times when we join an organization, we sign in, right? You've done that before. You pay a few bucks, you sign in. Okay, I'm a member of this. We have a golf course in our neighborhood, actually where we live. It's a nice one. Yeah, I walk by it. I don't golf. I don't know how. I've never golfed in my life. I hear it's really fun. It's hard for me to believe it, but I think it's probably true. Hitting a little ball in a hole, I think so. But you know what? You have to sign in. Even though I live in the neighborhood, in that section, you know, I have a discount. And it's not bad. I think it's only $450 a year to join this club. That's a nice discount, right? I think, for a golf course. But you have to sign in. Now you're a member. That's not how it works in the family of God. You don't sign in and do that. See, a lot of other religions, that's what you do. You actually do that. You have to make certain blah, 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 blah pledges. You know, you're going to do this and that. No, no. That's not how it works. See, in the Christian faith, in our religion, our beliefs, yes, we have to make a confession of faith to Jesus Christ. But that doesn't do it if it's not genuine. Someone can raise his hand all day long. Someone can come up, you know, and whatever. Someone can even sign in and things. It doesn't matter. What really matters is it genuine? Because if it is, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into that person, comes into our lives. Our body, literally, the Bible says, becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. He changes us from the inside out. We are completely different. We may not look different, although I got to tell you, I've seen people that gave their lives to Jesus Christ. At the moment, I am telling you, they look different afterwards. There's a radiance. There's something different, you know? But he transforms us in Christ. That's what the scripture says. This is so important. I can't make a person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in his life to be a better Christian because he's not. And you know what? When I preach these things, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, unless the Spirit of God is working right now in you, you're not even understanding it. Blah, 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 blah. That's what I'm doing right now for you. But when the Spirit of God is in you, he does great and awesome things in you. Yes, we talk about the spiritual gifts that he gives to us, but not only that, he transforms us. He literally takes us from a dead person to a living person. In fact, later, when we talk about some things that are so important, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. What does it mean? That suddenly the Spirit of God inside of you begin to change the things about you. I can tell you this right now. I used to be a really angry person. Anger was one of my biggest problems in my life when I was young. But the Spirit of God transformed me. And anger is not anymore. Not that I don't get angry, but I don't get like that. You know, some of you might be, a liar. You lie, lie, lie. But the Spirit of God transformed you, so you can't lie anymore. I know I used to be a cursor. Whoa, my goodness. Every other word out of my mouth was an S word, whatever words, all these words. The moment I gave my life to Jesus Christ, never did it again. Not said it. Never said it again. I can't even say the H word, which is not really a curse, but you know, I can't say that unless it's in Scripture. See, God changes you by putting the Holy Spirit into your life. He transforms you. And when he does that, you become a different person. Well, you know what? You're in the family of God. So those of you that have been, welcome. So good. But if you don't know Jesus Christ and you don't think you're a member of the family of God, I want to tell you this. It's very simple. You just ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Say, Lord, I want to be transformed. Would you become my Lord and my Savior? And what happens is the Spirit of God comes into you, changes you, and you become a child of God. And you're different. And the chains of this world, you know, that bound you, the chains that said you cannot, you cannot, you cannot, they break off. You're not chained anymore. You're free because you're transformed. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you to thank you. Thank you for the fact that you give us freedom. Oh, Lord God, thank you so much. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross of Calvary for us because now we can be members of the family of God. We are children of the living God. Nobody can take that away from us. And Spirit of the living God, thank you for transforming us and continuously doing so. We appreciate it so much because we need your transformation. Oh, Father, we pray that you will allow us to understand that. Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know that, has not experienced that, Lord, would you minister in a mighty way even now? Oh, Lord God, that they can be transformed in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.